Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
Okay, I think we are live at night now. We came up a little bit earlier than expected, because why not, right?
It's yeah.
Totally going to be fun. I wanted to make sure the live was going to work. That was one of the reasons. And we were testing stuff out. So, hey, Ariane is here. I wanted to ask you, first off, before we get into cooking and all that stuff, what is happening with the restaurant and whatnot?
So, we are opening tomorrow. So, we're going to do curbside. We've decided, we tried it when this first all happened. We kind of went into like that, oh my God, what do we do mode? And we tried to do that carry out curbside delivery. But when we lost our whole staff, we were trying to do it on our own. We weren't really set up for it. So we closed the doors for, I guess, like 6 weeks. And we helped some friends out who run a huge deli that they turned into a market, and we learned a lot from them and seeing it. So we finally got to the point where we said, you know what, I think we're ready, and we're going to start off slow, you know, do the weekends, maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next week, we're going to do Thursday, add in Thursday, you know, obviously limited hours, an extremely small menu, just things that I think are a little different than our community has here.
Yeah.
You know, my burgers, I'm doing some great salads. We're doing some fun cocktail kits.
Nice.
Like our signature spicy jalapeno margarita kit. We're going to do a guacamole kit. I'm going to do a Sunday gravy kit, so you can take these home and finish them at home.
Oh, so it's going to be some kits so people can finish off.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's an awesome idea.
I think so too. So,
all right. So talk to me a little bit about what you're doing right now.
So, you know, since I'm going to be working all weekend, I figured I'd get a jump on my Sunday gravy. Yes, we call it gravy.
Yes,
I have some friends that debate me every time I post it.
Right.
But we call it Sunday gravy because it's filled with lots of meat. So I'm just going to start that. I have some beautiful pork country rib here that I'm just seasoning up nicely. Some sweet sausage from... we have a great local butcher right here in Caldwell, and they do some amazing, amazing meats. So they make my sausage for me, which is great. Cool. So I'm just going to start that. And of course, I'm going to make my meatballs, which I really don't show anybody my recipe, but I'm going to tonight.
All right.
I know my sister-in-law is excited.
So the Sunday gravy for you is a tradition growing up, yeah?
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, I spent a lot of time growing up with my grandmothers, both my grandmothers, and particularly my dad's mom, who lived in the same town I grew up in. And all she did was cook, because she didn't work. She just cooked, and would plot me on the counter next to her. And I think that's where, you know, not only do I love to eat, I think my love of cooking came from that too. So this is something she does. This is what she's taught me. So I probably tweaked it a little bit along the way, but.
So, I mean, everybody has their secrets when it comes to meatballs.
Mm-hmm. So my secret, which I'm going to give you, is I moisten my bread first. I like to really soak it. Now, these are just Italian breadcrumbs, but you can use fresh bread. And soaking it is where the tenderness of the meatball comes in. So I'm using water. My mom uses milk. So everybody...
Now, when you go out to eat and meatballs are on the menu, I know I'm always apprehensive about ordering them.
I'll always order them.
Just to see.
Yes, yes, yeah. And I have to say, I'm usually pleasantly pleased, which is always nice, especially like when somebody has like that huge meatball on the menu, you know.
Right. So it definitely depends where it's from, but I mean, for the most part, you know, what you're doing looks amazing.
Yeah. So I have veal beef pork. It's already blended. My butcher does this for me as well. So if you're lucky enough to have a wonderful butcher, I know like my daughter's in Louisiana. I'm like, honey, just go to the local Italian deli. She's like, yeah, Mom, we don't have that here. we're in Louisiana. We don't have that. So if you're lucky enough to have a wonderful butcher or an Italian deli, you'll know you're fine. And some grocery stores have it too. They call it meatloaf mix.
Do you ship a lot of stuff to Louisiana for your daughter?
I don't. She actually, believe it or not, she loves to cook.
Good.
She loves to cook. And she does what she can. She makes meatballs, so she might have to use this ground beef, but she does it. So I have two daughters. My younger one, I always like to say, in this restaurant business, you either have it or you don't.
Right.
My oldest daughter, she loves the restaurant, don't get me wrong. And she loves eating at the restaurant. And she helps us when I need help, don't get me wrong. But
is this her right here? I think she's joining us live on Facebook here. Jolie.
Yeah, she probably is. Oh, no, that could be Jolie. That could be the younger one.
Okay.
Jolie.
Yeah.
And she loves to cook. But Rory's getting there. I'm not talking smack, Rory. This is what happens in quarantine for 6 weeks, Peter.
How has it been for you? Are you guys okay?
You know what? We're all great, and I have to tell you, I love it. I'm very happy. I love being a time I never had.
Yeah.
I've been working in this career for almost 38 years, and I worked like a dog since I was started. Like I was 14, I really put my all into it, my heart, my soul, and my time. So there's been a lot of time I've missed with, especially my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm sad that Jolie's not here, but I've so embraced being here with Rory. We've had just really great, great time together. So.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So.
I'm curious to know, are you developing anything different for the restaurant, figuring when it comes back? This was something I did in quarantine. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's my biggest struggle. Trying to think about recreating myself or reinventing who we are at Ariane Kitchen and Bar. Do we go, you know, we like to call ourselves upscale casual. Maybe we're just going to be casual. Maybe we're, you know, maybe I'm going to be a taqueria. Maybe I'm going to be just a burger joint. I think the unknowing kills me the most.
That's
what's the most frightening, because I don't know, you know, you have people that want to say, I can't wait to get out. But then there's a lot of people who say, I'm not going out until there's a vaccine. Or I might go out and, you know, but I don't want, if I see there's more than, you know, 20 people in the restaurant, I don't want to be there.
The industry seems like it's going to change for sure. So what are you going to do next with these meatballs?
So now I've just incorporated it. I've seasoned it. And I have my cast iron. This is one of my grandma's cast iron pans.
Love it.
And I got some oil in here. Oopa. I'm going to do that. And I'm just going to fry them in the pan. We just, I like to just ball them up. I got to take the gloves off.
Yeah. Well, you're cooking in quarantine, but, you know, it's for whoever's there. So you're good to go on that. Yeah. I mean, I guess some stuff must be a challenge too for the restaurant, cooking certain dishes with gloves and doing all this stuff, but you have to do it, right?
I tell you, what's the hardest is tasting your food.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to taste your food, but today we were laughing because I'm like, well, if we're going to lose weight, this will stop us from eating all the french fries and the chips when we're frying them all the time.
Right, absolutely.
Those little tastes here and there. But so yeah. But I'm really excited. It felt good to be in the restaurant today. It felt so good.
I was going to ask you, what does that feel like? You know, I mean, you've been away from it for so long now.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you're you go from a career, this is what I want to do. All these years, there's never been a period of time where you're 6 weeks off. Maybe a weekend if you're lucky, you know?
No. And you can, I think your brain, I guess how mine worked, it was just kind of like, I really got into relaxing mode and enjoying my time. And I kept saying, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll think about it tomorrow. Think about it tomorrow. And now, 6 weeks later, I'm like, shit, tomorrow's here. You know, like, I better get off my booty.
Right.
In fairness to
you, at one point, it didn't seem like the world was open. And it still doesn't seem like the world is opening up anytime soon. So making slight adjustments is, it's about the right time for it. I don't think in the last 6 weeks you would have benefited or, been able to do anything that you wanted to do, you know?
Yeah. Especially in the beginning, it was frightening. It was scary. I lost some great friends. I had friends lose family, friends whose parents. I mean, there were a lot of tears shed. There were days that I didn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
It started when Floyd died, he was a really great friend. Just because our kids grew up together. He's from the town I live in.
Yeah.
I've known him forever. And I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And that was when it really, really, really hit home for me. And I said, this ain't playing.
It's real. Yeah.
This virus is not playing.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think it's all, like you said, it's all sort of at a distance, right? You hear about that one died. But then when it touches you, and I've had that happen as well, you're like, wow, this is absolutely deadly. And it's taken very serious.
Yeah. Okay.
We have somebody on Facebook that's saying something I want to show you. Rita.
Okay.
Rita says, hi, Ariane. It's Grandma Rita. Rita, I really want that recipe, so I'm glad.
Hi, I will give it. She loves my cooking videos. Yes, Rita, you will get it.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm washing my hands.
Okay.
She's so sweet. I tell you, that was another thing. So I started doing some of my own little cooking videos. When I did have the time, I had so
that was
much
cool.
fun doing
That's
it.
That's one of the reasons why I asked you. I was like, you know, you were rocking it. Yeah.
And then I started helping my friends out at the deli, and my time was very limited. So.
Well, we miss you from cooking live. Okay, so.
Yeah, well, here I am. Just really quick back to the gravy that I'm making. Yeah. So what I do now, I have this nice and brown, my meat nice and brown. I like to call this my little secret too. I take the tomato paste and I add it in there, and I almost let it caramelize in the oil, because it brings out those extra sugars in the tomato. Yeah. So I like to really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to get that cooking a little bit.
Now Tracy Gerber says, "Love you, girl."
Oh, that's another thing. I tell you, hearing from people from all over. I had when I worked at Trio in Chicago in 90. When was it? 95. I had some of my coworkers reaching out and just saying hello. And
that's really cool. And I do feel like we're all doing things like this, Zooms and. Yes. StreamYards and all this, and probably wouldn't be doing things like this. I don't even know that we would be hanging out this way, right? If this thing didn't happen. So
No.
It's been a very interesting time period for sure.
Yeah, and I'm really not opposed to this new normal.
Me either.
I think the biggest thing I'm opposed to is being able to get most of my employees back.
Yes.
At least some of them. That's one thing that I'm looking forward to, and getting the business on track.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's really important. I think, I must have been really hard for you. And I remember we did a chat with a group of y'all. You were everybody was kind of talking about having to let go of employees and all that stuff. I'm sure that was not an easy process for you, because
it wasn't easy.
Really, the last thing that a chef owner or a business owner of any sort wants to have to do. They're always worried about their team, their crew.
I am like a mama. I am a mommy. I have my two girls. Those are my girls, but my staff is my family. I mean, I spend more time with them than I do my family. I see them more than I see my family. I love them like my family. I would do anything for them. So most of them are okay, which is great.
Good.
And I think, time will tell, and hopefully they'll be back and we'll all be together again.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we've got...
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. Maureen Stanton says hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. And somebody says, love my Ariane. There you go. I'm just, if you want to ask Ariane what she's doing, feel free to drop a comment there in the Facebook or YouTube, perfect, wherever you're watching this. And
perfect.
We'll share it with her.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, I want to ask you, you were on Top Chef some time ago. What was that experience like for you? That's an amazing accomplishment,
Oh, it was amazing. I hated it. I should say hated it. It was really stressful and hard when I doing it. It was almost 11 years ago.
Yeah. Does it feel like yesterday or no? It feels like 11 years ago.
I will never forget it.
Right.
The memories are still fresh in my head, but it does feel, I was much younger. I couldn't run around the kitchen like that. Maybe I could. I don't know.
Right.
But
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Yeah. It really took me out of my comfort zone, and it did make me such a stronger chef. I give a lot to Top Chef and Bravo for my growth. My growth is I'm a chef as a person. It was great. And I'm still watching. I just did an appearance for them. It's nice because I'm on this East Coast and they asked me to do things here and there, which is, it's just always great. I always will love the Bravo family. I'd always go back if they ever asked me. I don't think they will.
They said we're doing like an All-Stars. I think they just did All-Stars, right? Yeah.
They're doing it right now. I'm going to watch it when I finish with you. I'm still watching. It's like season 17 or something. I don't even know. I was 10.
When you did it, what is it like being in the room with Tom Colicchio and the judges and all that stuff? What is that experience like for you?
So it was good. No, it was interesting. Tom was very tough with me. Tom was tough on me. Padma's beautiful and very sweet. Gail, extremely sweet. We had some wonderful guest judges. I think for me, Tom Colicchio was the toughest. He was the toughest on me. He expected a lot from me because I was the most experienced. I was like the one with the restaurant for 3 years, very successful ratings, blah, 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 where I was with kids that were line cooks and sous chefs and nothing to the caliber that they are now. And then, so we really expected a lot from me, and I tanked in the beginning. I had a rough road, man. It was hard.
Well, it's funny too, because I feel like in the period that you were on, it was newer, right? So you didn't, there wasn't like 15 to have watched and got an idea of what you were doing.
Exactly. I tell you, one of the best things though, I've made some true friendships that will be with me forever. Leah, Cohen, Carla, Ryan Scott, those.
You had an amazing cast. You did. Carla.
We had an amazing cast. And it's just so funny because Leah, we joke about it. Leah and Hosea, that was the challenge I got they threw me under the bus, you know?
Right. How do you guys feel about that?
I was so mad. And now I love Leah to death. I mean, I see her. She's right here in Jersey City now, which is great. I just went to the opening of the new Pig and Cow Piggyback Bar. But it was great.
We have some questions. I'm gonna pop off some of these comments and questions. Leo says, right. I love you, Ariane, and I'm so proud of you and Carol. Tim Paul says, Silk City tuning in, Chef. Christy wants to let you know that you were on Top Chef season 5, not 10. I guess you said 10.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And now we got Michael. What's your favorite as few ingredients as possible dinner recipes? And are you excited to start curbside?
Oh yeah. What's my favorite? So I love cacio e pepe.
I saw you making that the other day.
Three ingredients. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Three ingredients. Two pans. Your pasta and your pan. So that's one of my favorites. I just love steak, salt, pepper, and a baked potato. I'm a big meat eater.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I mean, a great salad. I'm pretty simple.
You must be excited about opening the curbside, yeah?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be a little tricky, but we're really prepared. We have some great staff coming in. We're really prepared. We started getting all our kits together, so hopefully we'll do okay tomorrow. And tomorrow will be the big test. And I think after that, we'll get better and better as the day. So everybody, please be patient with us.
Sure. Right. Relax with the yolk.
But I'm excited.
What's your next step here?
So now I'm just going to turn these off. These are pretty much done. And I'm going to let this cook for a little bit. I'm going to throw in a little salt in here. This is just going to cook I let it cook at least an hour, at least. Yeah. And then I like to pull the pork off the bone. Then I'll plop the meatballs in and we're good to go. So that's it. It's really simple. I'll add some fresh basil too later.
And now what are you usually doing pasta-wise with this? Does it depend or?
Yeah, it depends on my mood. I do it all. I do it all. The pasta, so we're doing our Sunday gravy kits and we're actually using Mike's Pasta Deli Shop.
Oh,
so
he's in Nutley. Nick Carino, yeah.
Phenomenal. So I'm going to pick up all my pasta from them tomorrow.
Nice.
And I'm really excited. Yeah, they do such a wonderful job.
Okay, well, we have the first surprise for you.
Oh, I love surprises, I think.
Can you see who's here?
Is it Leah?
It is Leah.
Oh my God. Hi, honey.
We can't hear your audio though some reason, guys.
My favorite.
Yeah. We can't hear you for some reason. Let's see. We're having a
I love them. It's hard sometimes. I was doing
I know these, the other day. These things are crazy, these chats. Sometimes we can't hear you.
Sometimes it works so simply.
Come out and come back in. Exit and then come back into the room. All right. So Leah's going to join us.
Oh, that's a great surprise. Oh, that's so. And look at him talking about her the whole time.
I know. I was so excited when you were talking about it, too. So you're going to open back up. I'm happy to hear that. I guess everybody's probably super excited about that.
We have some great, great, great comments. Everybody's really excited.
There we go.
What you making?
Gravy. Meatballs.
Ben's favorite.
Nice.
I know. I'll have to send some over.
Okay.
I'll drop it off curbside.
Leah, let me ask you, you got to know.
I can't hear Peter.
You got to.
Can you?
I hear you.
I hear everybody.
Can you hear me?
I cannot.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
All right. I'll tell you the, I'll tell you the question and then you ask her the question.
Technologically. Okay.
The question is, what is some of the things that she met you on Top Chef, right? Mm-hmm. What did she love about getting to know you during the Top Chef thing?
Leah? Leah, what did you love about me when you got to know me on Top Chef?
Oh, girl, you like to party.
well, there was that.
Well, we definitely partied together, but you were also like the mom of the house. You were very motherly.
Yeah.
So you took care of all of us.
Yeah.
You know, but also got fucked up with us at the same time.
Exactly. And Leah, I tell her every time, my most memorable thing was she would make breakfast and she makes the garlic rice and eggs. And you were just talking about them the other day. I texted you. I was like, my mouth is watering. It was so memorable. It was so simple, but I loved it because I had never really had it, and it was so good. And this day, I still talk about it.
can you hear me yet, Leah? Or no? Can you hear me yet? Or no? No. Okay. So how is she handling the COVID with her restaurants?
So Leah, Peter wants to know, how are you handling COVID with your restaurants?
So we closed both restaurants. We decided basically the day before it was mandatory that we were going to close that Monday. So we were kind of just on par with, you know, what everyone was thinking. And for me, I just didn't think that takeout and delivery was worth it because
it's hard.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone was safe. I didn't want to put anyone at risk. And I just wanted everyone to stay at home. And all, you know, while it does, you know, it is a financial burden for everyone, I think everyone's health is the most important thing. So I'm actually going to get tested tomorrow to see if I'm hopefully negative. I did have symptoms, but I was exposed. So if I am negative, then, you know, then I can start about thinking about reopening and how that would come into play. But until I know that my husband and I are negative, it's not an option for me.
Yeah.
How's Ben feeling? Is he feeling okay too?
He's fine. He had zero symptoms. Like I lost my sense of smell and taste for 20 days, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. 18 to 20 days. And I had like chills and I was weak, but that was like very minor. But Ben had zero symptoms. So, he could be asymptomatic. I don't know. But if we both test negative, then I would assume that the baby is negative, and then we can really start focusing our efforts into reopening.
Good.
Yeah, we don't have a plan yet. We're waiting on a lot of things. There's a lot of, you know, variables, but.
Oh, Leah, it's ridiculous. It's very stressful because there's just so much of the unknown.
Yeah.
And especially like you know, you start listening to the news like every day and you're waiting for answers, like, okay, maybe today they're going to tell me, but they never give you an answer.
No.
You know, you never can get an answer, which is just so frustrating, especially for the restaurant people. It's just so frustrating. They just kind of pushed us to the side, and we're the ones struggling so much. And people are anticipating business us to open again. So it's like, we can't do anything until you tell us we can. And then what are the rules? What are the rules we have to follow?
And then, you know, they're saying, well, every establishment is going to have, it's up to them. Like, obviously there are certain protocols that we're going to have to follow, but like, you know, are we going to require people to get their temperature taken before they enter? But like, I also don't know. I never had a fever. I never had a temperature. I took my temperature every single day. So that doesn't guarantee that people are asymptomatic. So, I mean, I don't know how accurate that is to be taking temperatures. Is everyone going to have to wear a mask?
Right.
How can we seat people.
How do you eat and drink with a mask on?
Right. And how do you seat people 6 feet apart from each other when your business is driven by volume? You know, there's a lot of issues. It's, you know, there is no roadmap. No one knows the answers. And I guess we're looking for someone to kind of guide us, but there is, there is no real guidance because no one has been through this before, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw that you guys are starting takeout and delivery on tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow. I did a really small menu. I'm doing some like kits, like Sunday gravy kit, a guacamole kit, a wine and cheese kit, and then we're gonna do carry out cocktail kits.
Oh, nice.
Where you can make your own little drink at home. It's the spicy jalapeno margarita at home.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be fun. It's just something a little different than that our town here isn't offering yet offering at all. So I think it'll be a nice addition to what is already happening.
Yeah. Totally.
Ariane, ask her what her favorite thing is about your cooking these days.
Leah, what is your favorite thing about my cooking these days?
I love that your food is simple.
Yeah.
But very simple is very hard to do because you have to do it right. You know what I mean? So it's not flavor, your seasoning is on point. The technique is on point. You use really great ingredients. I was just there right before this all happened. And I mean, we ordered like so much food.
Yeah,
like,
you did. Yes, you did.
And we took everything home that we couldn't finish. And Ben left and he was like, you know, I've only eaten at Arian's food once before and it was really good, but like this time was like really, really good. It's just comforting. It's comport food. It's food that you're familiar with, but you do it very well. And obviously I love Mike and the staff is great and it's a nice welcoming warm place to.
I love you. That's so sweet. You're gonna make me cry.
Okay, tell her we're gonna let her go, but I wanna let her know.
We're gonna let you go.
I think she's one of my favorite chefs as well. So I just think the world of her.
So Peter says, we're going to let you go, but he wants you to know that you're one of his most favorite chefs out there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And I love you. And this is a wonderful surprise because I've been talking about you. And today we were texting. So
I know.
I love you. And I'll see you soon. And tell Ben I'm dropping him off Brady.
Tell her that I'm gonna go like talk to her in like an hour. And I was like, no. I'm
terrible
with surprises. So.
I know. I'm trying. All right,
thank you, Leah.
Tell Ben.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that was a nice little surprise, right?
Oh, yeah. Peter, that was awesome.
I figured we had to throw down some surprises for you. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see if we have any more questions here for you.
Oh yeah.
Ray Serio says he's ready for his AKB burger tomorrow night, and he says you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you. That's my stylist, my hair colorist.
Mm.
Probably looking at my hair.
You know, and the thing is, Leah is such an amazing chef herself. That's why I said about your season. You know what I mean? You had her and the guys too that we can talk. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved, I still chat with Stefan once in a while. And that's what's great about Facebook too. And our social media, sites that you can connect. So like Stefan is in Finland and I can just text him or Facebook message him. And then he messages me right back, which it just blows my mind.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you for other chefs that may be watching this right now that have restaurants that are in sort of a panic. What do you have to say to some people to give some advice maybe?
Well, I think, my advice to myself is, we got to take it slow, and we can't get angry and frustrated. We have to accept what's going to happen because we don't know what's going to happen. We have to listen and know that our health is and well-being is more important than anything. So we all need to take precaution and listen to what people are telling us and what we have to do, and try not to, you know, get frustrated. I have a mentor, and he just said to me, knowing that we were open, he said, just take deep breaths. Just take deep breaths.
Yeah. That's a very, very good advice.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, you coming back, well, let's see, we have, here's Steve. Jeanette says, way to go, Ariane. So proud of what you and Michael have accomplished. Looking forward to your opening. In terms of you coming to Verona and all that stuff, how did you get there? You traveled quite a bit, and I know we're doing a little history lesson here, but you know, you went to CIA, I know, right? And then you went to Dallas, and then you went to Chicago, and then at some point, you know, it's almost like Springsteen says, now he's right back home where he, you know, right? So
I, you know, my career obviously started here. I graduated high school. I knew what I wanted to do. I only wanted to go to one school, and that was Culinary Institute of Hyde Park, of America in Hyde Park. And I got in right after high school, and I sowed my oats. I did my externship at one of the best places here in Jersey, the High Lawn Pavilion, same owners as the Manor. They're still, Harry knows, is still one of my, a man I admire and truly respect in this industry, all his kids who I learned from.
What's interesting is they have the wedding facility, but they have a restaurant as well. That's just incredible. Yeah.
Opened that up in 85.
Yeah.
And, or 88 it was. And, and then I went to the city for a while, and I moved around. I was in Montclair. I went to the city. I catered. I did a little bit. And then I got to the point where, I said, I got to get out of here. I got to do something else. You know, I had like a bad breakup with a boyfriend of many years. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Next surprise, the ex-boyfriend is here now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That would have been amazing.
I'm not that good. Just kidding. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then and that's where I found I got to Texas. I went to Dallas, and I worked for Stephen Piles at Star Canyon, and another great teacher and restaurateur. And so that was an amazing experience, and that's where I met my husband, Michael, who was a chef as well. And he just kind of took a leave of absence from his being from Illinois, the Chicagoland area. He had taken an absence from the restaurant he was at because it was his mother's, and they needed to separate a little bit, take a little break. And he found himself at Star Canyon as well. We met, we fell in love, and then that's what got me to Chicago, where we stayed for a few years. And that's where I worked for Sean McClain and Bill Kim at Trio.
What is that experience like for you? I mean,
Trio was where I learned to fabricate my first salmon. There's things I remember. It was so funny, and it was really high-end fine dining, so I really honed my skills there with the higher end fine dining, and I really loved it. I loved the crew. I worked my booty off, but I learned so much. And you know, Bill Kim, well, Sean and Bill were amazing chefs, and they still are. And I still keep in touch with them as well, because you bounce ideas off people. I always like to, if I need advice, I kind of reach out to as many friends as I can in the business to see, because everybody has a different view and a different, you know, how they look at it. So it's really nice to have that. And so Trio was wonderful. And after Trio, I worked for Charlie Trotter for a short stint, which was amazing. It was great. I didn't work in the restaurant. I actually worked in his demo kitchen, and I recipe tested his Gourmet Cooking for Dummies book, which was awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was really great.
And then you came back, and then that's when you got the Top Chef thing?
Yeah, so I came back and I worked in the city at Vine for 5 years. I opened and I closed it. And after that, Vine was a Monday through Friday kind of gig. So on the weekends, my husband Michael and I would, we would cater for friends and family out of the house on weekends. And, you know, this led to this and this led to this. And we snowballed and we became this, we were getting so big doing so many parties where when Vine closed, we started looking for a catering space. And that's when I found Culinarian. And Culinarian, we had, I did the food I was doing at Vine, I kind of just did that at Culinarian, but we also did a ton of catering. And that's when Top Chef came.
Yeah.
And actually, my sister, I have a younger sister. I have two younger sisters, but one of them, I said, Harry, you gotta try, watch the show and try out for it. And I'm like, all right. So we filled out the whole application. It was a long application and because they ask you many, many questions, like very crazy questions. And I never watched the show. So we fill out the application. It literally takes us hours. And then I watch the show and I'm like, hell no. I show. I throw the application in the garbage. I'm like, Jamie, wow. I did not do that. And and then Amanda Freitag, who is one of my dearest friends, I forget how it all worked out. She was doing Iron Chef or she was doing something and they called her to do Top Chef because they wanted to get more women involved in Top Chef. So she was like, I can't do it. No, she's getting ready to open the Harrison or something like that, I think.
Right. She's done so many things.
Done so many. I can't even keep up. But she calls me. She says, you got to go. I'll get you in. Just fill out the application. I'm like, I start rummaging through the garbage. I'm like, where is that application? I had to fill out the whole thing again because it went out in the garbage. But so lo and behold, you do this. Everybody's audition is different. I did an audition like at a round table with 10 other prospective chef cooks that could have went in.
What does that look like? What is a round table?
Oh my God. It was comical. It was Mother's Day. It was the morning of Mother's Day. Me and the kids and Mike, they drove me into the city. You go in, they put us, we were at, a school. We were at like ICE. We were in like a one of their school teaching rooms, and there's a table of 10 of us, and I guess one of the producers somebody from Magic Elves, and they just say, hey, you know, go around the table and introduce yourself. So, you know, the first guy goes, hey, I'm 18. I'm a line cook at, you know, blah blah blah, and then someone else is like, I'm a consultant. Someone else is like, I'm a student. And they finally, they get to me and I'm like, well, I'm Arian. I own a restaurant for 3 years. I'm 40 years old. I've been in the business and I was like, I'm a mom of two. They're all like, oh, happy Mother's Day. You know, it was just really funny. Things were just falling into my lap. It was just working well. Because the thing about Bravo, it's a reality channel.
Right.
So not only do you have to cook, you have to have some sort of odd personality,
sure,
or funny personality or something. There's got to be something unique about you. And you know, I was the Jersey girl. I was there, you know, my accent, this, that. There's just a lot. And then the next day they said, just be prepared if we call you to come for a camera interview the next day if we call you. Okay, no big deal, they're not going to call me. Sure enough, we're at Chengdu having Mother's Day dinner,
right?
And my phone rings. It's a California number, and I'm like, Mike, oh my God! And I get up from the table. I'm like, hello. They're like, hey, we really loved you. Come for an on camera. So I went to a hotel, and we did an on camera, and you had to tell some funny stories. So I got some funny stories together, and then it literally the audition process took almost 6 weeks. Like, it was Mother's Day, May something. I didn't find out I made Top Chef till the weekend of July 4th.
Is there anything that people that are watch you from Top Chef would love, you know, is there something about the process of making the show that was surprising to you?
Yeah, you know what?
I feel like you got an answer there.
The whole thing was surprising. It was. I was shocked. I was shocked that I got picked.
Now you're in this thing, right? You're on this thing, and you're watching this thing. You're watching it play out in front of your eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
but then you see the thing, right?
Yeah. Well, wait. Are you talking about when I'm watching it after a
day? Well, when you're there. I was talking about when you're there, but then I do want to know about when you're watching it as well.
Yeah. When you're there filming, you know, and Leah said, oh, yeah, you were the party girl. In the beginning, I probably did not drink because I had to be so I was on the bodysuit challenges, so I was just so sick to my stomach. I was so nervous. So I tried to stay on my game a little bit. And then after I felt a little more comfortable, yeah, I definitely had my cocktails and had a good time with everybody. But it's hard. And my thing, one of my biggest things was just, I had been my own chef, if you will. Like I hadn't really worked for other chefs for almost, at that point, almost 8 or 10 years. I had been on my own cooking. So I had kind of been out of the game a little bit. So now I'm in this room with 16 other really wonderful cooks and chefs, and I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm hearing words I've never heard before. And I'm like, all right, now, you know, what's going on? So it was a little scary.
Yeah.
But it was just an eye opener. It was a real eye opener.
And then you get home and you're watching the thing play out. Cause it was, you know, listen, Top Chef now in this current, the last few years is really about the cooking and the competition.
Oh, it's so pulled much. Back
a lot of the, on the drama or the Bravo kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in your season, it was still Bravo. Well,
oh my God, Pete, we would leave to go film for the day and you'd come back. Sam Adams was one of our sponsors.
Right.
We'd come back and we'd have cases this high of just beer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They put, you know, you haven't eaten all day, but you come home to 5-8 cases of beer. Of course, we're all going to let loose. And nothing good comes of that. usually.
Depends on how you look at it, I guess. But anyway, then you watched the show. What did you think when you were watching it? Were you like, well, that's kind of how that happened?
Actually, I'm sorry to cut you off. Actually, I was really true to who I was, and I think they edited me beautifully. I was very happy. I was very happy. You know, I think some of the things I said was, oh my God, I can't believe I said that, but that was pretty funny. You know, like, or I don't remember saying that. Oh my God, I can't believe I said that. But that's me.
All right, so now you're in Verona, and you know, you're opening back. Tell people about where they can find you, and give all those kinds of details.
Yeah, so Arion Kitchen and Bar, we are 706 Bloomfield Avenue in Verona, and we will be opening this Friday tomorrow 4:30, 7:30. Call in your orders, and you can find the menu on our website, Arion Kitchen and Bar.
All right. So listen, before I wrap up, I usually always give everybody an opportunity to, I'm all about gratitude these days. So is there somebody along your way that you want to shout out and give a little gratitude towards?
I do. I'm sorry. Well, I'd love to shout out just to my family, Michael, Rory, Jolie, just for the extra support that they give me every day. And of course to my family and friends who are so close to me and know my struggles, and to my dearest girlfriend, Amy Harrigan, keep up what you're doing. She runs Toast. She owns 3 of them. She's an operating officer.
We met at a thing. She's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She is amazing. And she's my rock star. And I just want her to keep doing what she's doing and know that there will be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow soon.
Yeah.
So, and to 8 Hills Lakeside Deli. Thank you for taking Michael on.
Cool.
To help you.
All right. Couple quick Facebooks that I'm going to give you a little gratitude.
Hey, Pauline says hi. Pauline says hi, Ariane. And Karen says she loved watching Ariane and cheering for her on Top Chef with the whole family. Listen, I think one of the things I loved about watching you on Top Chef that season is that you bring in authenticity, right? So I've had an opportunity to eat some of your stuff down through the years and whatnot, and I think that also comes through in the food that you deliver as well. So I'm just so appreciative to you for doing this, for coming in all the times that you have, and I want to do so much more. I feel like we just started talking here at one point.
I know. We got to do it again.
Yeah, I'm glad you're opening back up. Lisa also says this here, and I do, and I feel the same way. Keep making more videos because I love watching them. So,
I'll try.
Yeah, and you know,
I'll do one from the restaurant.
Oh, that would be very cool. Yeah, very cool. All right, so it was good having you here, and
thank you, Pete.
Good luck, you know, with everything that's going on.
Great. See you soon.
All right. Bye bye. Thanks for doing
this. Bye. Thank you. Take it easy.